Just 2 game weeks to go and I'm getting worried. We discuss how to navigate a unique weekend. Is selling Salah really a sensible option? And yes, you're hearing this right. We talk romance. Guys, this is the podcast I've been dreading. I love Thursday mornings. They're such a fun time of the week where I get to catch up with friends, colleagues, Sam Bonfield and Julian Laron. But it's happened, guys. He's going to catch me. Kelly Summers here, back with you as always.
You're feeling
he's
the pressure.
A point of me.
No, I'll let you win, Kelly. I'll let you stay ahead of me. I can't do that to you, really. I can't do that to you.
I'm in the point of the season now where I've had a terrible season. Everything that could go wrong is going wrong. And it would be the cherry on the top of the world's biggest ice cake ever that you would now finish above me.
To let you finish above me. So, like, I'm very charitable, as you know, so I don't want you to be too upset. So.
Enough about that. Let's do a proper welcome to the pod. Hi, guys. It's Thursday. I'm so happy to be here. We're back with a game week 37 preview. I can't quite believe where the weeks have gone, to be honest. How are there only 2 game weeks left? 2 game weeks left to ensure that Jules doesn't actually finish above me. Sam, let's talk about your game week because you've been having a nice steady climb, unlike some of us.
Yeah, it's been like steady climb after steady climb. But honestly, so Kels, I noticed that we made the same transfer.
Again. Yeah, but why are you climbing and I'm not?
It can't be a coincidence.
It is.
So I got, but Kels, I got lucky, didn't I? So I made 2 transfers. I took a -4. I did it all very late in a massive stress. And I, honestly, if you'd have seen me on Saturday afternoon, I was in a right. I just didn't know what to do. And I've been like that all week. Like on this pod last week, I didn't really know what I was doing. By Saturday morning, I still didn't know what I was going to do. And by Saturday afternoon, I panicked about 10 minutes before the deadline because I got absolute fear of Kevin De Bruyne. I don't even know where it came from because I didn't want him all week. I'd been talking about how I wasn't that interested. I was going to make moves. If I was going to make moves that were rogue, it was going to be for Haaland. Yet somehow on Saturday afternoon, I did the thing that I said I wasn't going to do. And I panicked, I got KDB. And because I was panicking and getting KDB, I then panicked even further. And rather than getting Chris Wood, who was the player I wanted to get all week, I somehow got Johan Wisser, which at the time I was like, well, that'll be okay. And then but then the more I've thought about it, the more I was like, why have I just got a player I didn't want? Why didn't I get the player that I've been talking about all week? So anyway, I was very stressed and I was very upset when KDB then blanked. But the Crystal Palace assets in my team upset me greatly sitting in the South Stand watching them because they were amazing. But they did save my game week. So I somehow still, despite the terrible -4, got a green arrow and a nice, like you say, a nice steady green climb again. So now I think that's 6 green arrows in the last 9 weeks. So it's the progress has been really solid over the last few weeks. And I feel like the last 2 transfers are really important now because I'm so close to the top 100K, which would be a good finish after the season that I've had. So fingers crossed, the last 2 go well.
Yeah, it's mad when you think about it, actually. 2 transfers remaining, unless you're me and take -4s. I also took a -4 for the same players, as you said. But unlike you, I sold a player that returned. I sold Ismaïla Sarr because I'd run out of patience. And of course, he rewarded me by returning, which I should have seen, shouldn't I, really, against the Spurs side, who definitely wish there was no league football between now and next Wednesday. Jules, yeah. You played that bench boost and you are a lesson.
You're welcome, by the way.
You are a lesson.
Never that.
Yeah, actually, that's a very good point. I forgot. You wouldn't have played if it wasn't Sam. But you are a lesson as to why we should not always be fixated with doubles because you've had a better bench boost than myself and Sam, who so carefully planned when we were going to wild card and then play that bench boost. And we got about half the points you did. Jammy.
True, Kels. Although, to be honest, I kept the bench boost because I thought there would be another double between last week and the end of the season, and I would have played there because I still think it's almost natural that you get drawn towards a double game week to play a lot of the chips. So I just got a bit lucky this time that Sam convinced me not to wait until the last day of the season to have a bit of fun on game week 38. And that, to be fair, Munoz did so well, Burn did so well. I brought in Edison because I thought Areola would concede for West Ham against United, forgetting how bad United are in general. But Ederson still returned and had obviously didn't concede. So defensively, this was amazing. I got 45 points just with my goalkeepers and defenders, which is brilliant. 72 in total, which is great, but nothing for Isak, Marmoush or Wissa up front, which is a bit annoying when the defense does so well and then you've got nothing up front when they are the ones supposed to bring you the points. But yeah, it was still a very good game week.
Yeah, it was a bit of a frustrating game week overall with a lot of kind of popular players blanking. Salah, Isak and Palmer all blanked as three of the top four most popular picks, with Mbeumo just registering an assist. However, had I not brought KDB in, I would have captained Mbeumo, so I would have been slightly better off. Thankfully, though, as Sam said, Palace kind of saved the game week in terms of popular players. Eze, Munoz, and then Burn and Sharda, who's an interesting one these days, also returning. So just to reiterate what we've just said, Sam's miles ahead in our mini league. Let's forget about her. She's on 2,380. Ian is 10 points behind you, though, so that's getting quite interesting. Ian could still pip you at the top. He's on 2,370. And then this is where the real fun / stress begins. I have had a good few weeks and then I've just had a disaster. It's been my worst season ever. I was trying to at least salvage something by steadily climbing to the top 200K. I would have taken that. And then I just had a horrible week. Finished on 48 points. I'm on 2,299. And Jules is on 2,298. So yeah, watch this space. And please, guys, pray for me. As for the FPL Pod Mini League, it's nice and tight there as well. Max is top, second place overall in the quest for victory in the FPL rankings. Max actually sold Mo Salah. Quite a few people do that recently. It's bold, but it's obviously paying off. He did it to bring in Erling Haaland, a very popular move, and he captained Haaland. Of course, that didn't go so well, but he did also bring in Sharda, which was a brilliant transfer. He got 72 points with a minus four. Joshua Bevan did close the gap a little bit too. Joshua got 72, but he didn't take a minus four. There's 23 points between the two of those, so it is hotting up. Ian Royans is up to third. He got 69 points. Jake Poplawski is fourth. He got 58 this game week. Ahmed climbs up into our top five for the first time this season. He got 79 points for the game weeks. He was the only member of the top 10 of that mini league with a chip active. He triple captained Mbeumo. Now, of the top 20 in that league, only Kasper Papahelixo has a chip left. He has bench boost that he probably will be a bit disappointed he didn't do what Jules did and use him last week. He actually would have had 21 points from his bench boost if he'd have activated it. He is 13th in that league. Okay, then on to the final two game weeks. I'm going to focus in on game week 37, because of the point of the campaign we're at, we can just kind of hone in on one game week at a time. We don't need quite as much as long-term thinking, but this is a bit of a strange game week because we've got two games on Friday night. That is, of course, because of the Europa League final next Wednesday featuring both Spurs and Chelsea. So the Friday night fixtures are Spurs against Aston Villa at Villa Park, whilst Manchester United travel to London to face Chelsea. There aren't any games on Saturday. That's because of the FA Cup final between Manchester City and Crystal Palace. Then we've got a bumper Sunday, five fixtures, including that final game at Goodison Park, as well as Jamie Vardy's last match at the King Power before he leaves Leicester at the end of the season. And there's a Monday night match between Brighton and Liverpool before then on Tuesday, we have the rearranged fixtures because of the FA Cup final between Crystal Palace and Wolves and Manchester City against Bournemouth. So it feels like it's quite a lot to contend with this week, Sam, in terms of a really elongated game week across a multiple number of days. And there's the FA Cup final. So the likes of Manchester City and Crystal Palace are going to play in that final before we know what's going to happen, before their league game and after the deadline, if that all makes sense. So there's quite a lot to think of. You've got to think of the mental state of Palace and Man City, depending on what happens, injuries. Yeah, just so much. And my head can't handle it.
No, and that's why it's really stressful, isn't it? Because not only have we got the two games on Friday night, which already feel kind of contentious in terms of what kind of sides are we going to see from Manchester United and Spurs ahead of the final next week, then we've obviously got nothing on Saturday apart from obviously the FA Cup final, which will be brilliant. But it does have an impact on us in FPL, because what do you do with your Man City and your Palace assets? Do you play them, not knowing who the team for the final is going to be, and hope that they then still start on Tuesday? We obviously have to hope, as you say, that they get through that game without any injuries or any problems coming on the back of that. And then for the winners, what kind of state are they going to be in come Tuesday? Are they going to be heads back in the game? Now, I think for both of them, to be fair, with the positions in the league, that's probably still going to be fine. But if you do lose that final, it does have an impact, doesn't it, on kind of morale and thinking. So going into then Tuesday, I think it could be interesting. So for me, it's a stress. It's why I don't like the idea of the bench boost this week either, because there is potential that the FA Cup final has a bit of an impact on what we see on Tuesday.
Yeah, let's focus in on Manchester City and Crystal Palace then. We're all quite heavily invested in these players now as well. Are you going to play them all, Jules? How are you going to approach it with those teams?
I think it's very difficult. I mean, Sam can correct me if I'm wrong, but that we've ever seen something like this really before in the game, that you could have games and then nothing for a day, then some games, then nothing until the Tuesday. Some teams would have played twice, but only once for us in the game. It's quite crazy because you're right. Like, can Erling Haaland play a third game in a row, for example, after the one against Southampton, and then the FA Cup final, we expect him to play. Otherwise, he would not have played against Southampton, and then we'll play again on Tuesday. I'm not sure he can do that. So what do you do with him? You've brought him in your team, and now you're going to leave him out on your bench. It's a bit strange. I want to think that if you win the FA Cup, but again, we won't know before the deadline. If you win the FA Cup, if you're Palace or City, then you play a celebration. You are home on Tuesday night. You're going to have the trophy. It's going to be a celebration. You're going to play your best team. Everybody will want to play. Everybody will be up for it. For the team that loses the final, it's the complete opposite. And that puts a lot of, I think, stress on our team and who we pick. Again, yeah. I think maybe more than ever, you need a strong bench just in case some of your players like Munoz or Eze, Haaland, Gvardiol, Marmoush, whoever you have from both teams, some might not play on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I kind of agree. And it's tough because I feel the same. You mentioned Haaland then. Sam, I feel the same about De Bruyne. And a bit like you, this is why I wasn't wild about having De Bruyne. I just got the fear of having no Man City attacker going into that Southampton game last weekend. And I knew that this was going to be something that I was going to have to contend with and sort ahead of this bizarre game week.
Yeah, the one thing I think that tipped it for me for going for KDB over than Haaland, apart from just utter panic, was that Haaland, I was worried, as Jules said, about can he come back into the starting 11 against Southampton and then start the FA Cup final and then start again on Tuesday night?
I have slight... I suppose Kevin De Bruyne has been back for a while now, but I don't feel like he's a shoo-in either with his injury concerns that he has had.
But it's his last game at home
exactly.
for City. So
yeah.
he would play... He might not play too much, or he might play the whole game, but they can't do that to him and not play him for his last home game. So he would be there.
Which is why I went for KDB in the end, because I was like, although I don't love the idea of him playing that many games in quick succession, I think the FA Cup obviously is important. They'll want to go and win that game. They will obviously want to secure their Champions League football for next season. And it's his last game at the Etihad before he leaves at the end of the season. So for me, I was like, I think KDB feels safest for Tuesday night.
Yeah, no, I hadn't really thought about the last game at the Etihad factor. So yeah, he probably does. So I think Jules is right, isn't he, Sam? Just have a good bench, be prepared that they might not start. It feels less risky with Palace maybe, but yeah, you just don't know, do you? Were you going to add something then? So I just interject with you.
No, I was just going to say, like Palace, I think I was expecting a little bit of rotation from them in the Spurs game last weekend. Like I didn't necessarily expect Mateta to start that one. I thought maybe Nketiah might get the start. And because he didn't, then it kind of makes me think, well, maybe Palace are just going to go.
There was a week though, wasn't there, between
yeah.
games.
There was.
That's the only
yeah.
thing.
You wanted to do
some
well
momentum.
For the last game. Yeah, exactly, before the final. So.
Yeah. Mateta, there is an obvious way of them not playing him, isn't there? And it does worry.
Yeah.
I sold Saar because I was like, will both Eze and Saar play two games in 5 days as well? Who knows? Doesn't matter now because Saar returned. Anyway, so let's just forget that he existed.
He's trolling you massively, isn't he?
It's the story of your season, really. Ismaila Sarr is the story. It's a bit the story of your life, but of your season as well.
We've moved on from Cole Palmer being the story of my season to Ismaila Sarr. Sums it up, really, when you have multiple
You've got so many stories this season.
Yeah. I don't want to say I want this season to end, but there is a part of me that does want this season to end so I can start afresh. I want the season to end and just start next season straight away just so we can pretend this one never happened and I can try and make it all better again. Spurs and Manchester United, they heavily rotated last game week. I feel like at this point we just shouldn't be invested in general, should we, Jules? It's just no.
I mean, it looks like Ruben Amorim and Ange. And Postecoglou are not even invested themselves in their own team. So like, yeah it's not. I know we looked at times at some of their players through the season and some of them have been good. We talked a lot about Kulusevski earlier on, for example. There was still, I guess, some incentives earlier in the season, but now, especially not before the final. It's impossible, I think, to predict who's going to start this weekend because of Wednesday next week. And I just think it's very difficult to predict. I mean, Spurs have a lot of injuries again, so this is not helping them. But it's hard.
Standard.
It's hard to predict it. And also, from a player's point of view, I know you want to finish, if it's your last home game of the season, you want to finish on a high and the fans will be there. And the fans have had a tough domestic season with you. But the only thing you're thinking of right now is Bilbao and the final. That's all. You're not thinking about the Premier League on Friday night at all. It's just all about the final. So I'm not even sure how much, even if you have a player from Spurs United in your team and he's starting, good for you. I'm just not sure even how much he's focused on that game.
What this does do, though, the flip side of that, is surely make both Villa and Chelsea attractive prospects.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Very happy to have Morgan Rogers in my team, even against Spurs. I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's kind of like, what are we expecting Manchester United and Spurs to do? Because if Postecoglou plays that rotated back line again, then the main back four will not have played a game for 2 weeks before the final, which seems mad. That didn't go well for us when we did that ahead of the Champions League final last time when we had a 2 week gap. So does he rotate them fully? If he does, I want to go all in on the Villa attack. I want Watkins and Asensio and Rodgers, because we'll just not be there. We'll be there in body, but not in mind. So I think absolutely investing in Villa. Chelsea are a little bit more interesting because the fixture is perfect for investment, but we're not seeing a lot from Chelsea. How are we investing?
Yeah.
Nico Jackson gets sent off, so he's suspended. When Nico Jackson wasn't there before, that wasn't good for Cole Palmer. He didn't perform as well. Ended up playing in some difficult positions that didn't really suit his style of play. Maybe you go for somebody like an Enzo Fernandez to go for their attack that way. But haven't been watching Chelsea of late thinking I must absolutely get a Chelsea player in. Now, the fixture means I want them. The benefit of Villa, of course, is that in the final game week of the season, they play Manchester United, who are either going to be very happy, but with a bit of a hangover from Europe, or they're going to be very unhappy with a bit of a hangover from Europe. So investing in Villa, I think, of those two is the right way to go.
Yeah, it's a very good point. I'm pleased to have Rodgers, and I wish now really I'd sorted my team out to have Watkins, I think, going into this game week. Jules, you've got Rodgers as well, haven't you? And I've got Konza, to be fair,
too. Yeah, and Ding. Yeah, I've got Ding as well, left back. And I think Watkins is the one really this week. If you can afford him, if you're ready to swap one of your forwards currently for him, it's great. The issue I have and the dilemma I have is I don't want to get rid of Alexander Isak because he loves playing against Arsenal. He's very good against William Saliba, as much as it pains me to say. And for me, and Newcastle have been good, as we said. They were very good. Well, they were good against Chelsea, 11 against 11, then maybe not so good at 11 against 10. But still, I would think that Isak, even at the Emirates, can do something for Newcastle on Saturday. And the only way I can get to Watkins really without a -4 is to just do the swap Isak for Watkins. And I'm just a little bit reluctant. I might still do it, but I would much rather do Marmoush for Watkins, for example. That would make me very happy. But I don't have enough money in the bank for that. I'm still like 0.5 short. So I see why I do, but I think Watkins is almost a no-brainer if you have the money, if you have the desire to do that transfer.
Sam, any plans to try and invest further in Villa? Or
yes, but I'm in exactly the same position as Jules. I do not want to sell Isak ahead of that game. So my dilemma then is, how do I afford to get Ollie Watkins? Do I go for a -4, do Marmoush to Watkins, and change out one of my defenders? And so then I've got a quandary, because part of me is like, well, why don't I just sell Saliba this week? If I sell Saliba and downgrade him, then I've got the money to do the Marmoush thing, and that's perfect. But then game week 38, when Arsenal play Southampton, I'm going to massively regret having sold Saliba, aren't I? So I've got that as a problem. Do I sell Gvardiol instead and get the money out of that way? Do I try and take the money out of one of my midfielders instead, which is possible? I feel really torn again this week on the transfer thing, because I feel like whatever transfer I make for game week 37 compromises my team for game week 38, unless I do Isak to Watkins. But I don't love the idea of selling Isak either, because they're in the hunt for the Champions
League. Also, Sam, as I said, we can take it game game week by game week, but we do also, as you said, have to look at the final game week. Are we not going to want an Arsenal attacker for that last game week as well? I sold Saka knowing that I was going to want him for game week 38. So like you, I will have to juggle things around. I'm very aware that I'm going to need to redistribute funds into the midfield to be able to get Saka. So I'm like you guys, but I would have to sell Mateta to get to Watkins. So I'd have to take a -4 to redistribute funds there. And then I'm going to have to probably take a -4 next week as well for Saka. Yeah. So it's like weighing up who I'm going to want more, Watkins this week or Saka next week. There's not loads to think about there, but there also is loads to think about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because next week, KDB back to Saka is what I want to do for game week 38, ideally. So if I'm doing KDB to Saka, there is. So I've got a little bit of money in the bank that would... Okay. Just about gets me there. Not quite, but just about. But that does mean that whatever decision I make this week, I need to make sure that whoever the defender of choice is isn't so expensive, or the other midfielder of choice isn't so expensive that it leaves the Saka money there as well. Now, I might decide, actually, I don't want to go for Saka, and instead I'll pick another Arsenal attacker. I don't know who that would be at the moment, but maybe one of them performs well this week and I think, oh, maybe I can, you know, go for an Odegaard or somebody different instead.
Martinelli.
Obviously then
Martinelli
that becomes a lot easier. Potentially, yeah. So we're going to have to wait and kind of watch Arsenal in 37 before I can make that decision. But it does feel like the decision I make going into 37 needs to also enable 38 as well, in terms of having some flexibility in the budget in case it is KDB to Saka that is the transfer. And that's currently what I think I'll want to do for the final week of the season.
Just a few stats to back up why maybe people might be thinking about selling Isak. He is the second most transferred out player. That's not the stat that I'm talking about, though. He's now blanked in two of his last four and three of the last eight. Between game week 30 and 32, a reminder, that was a double there. So that was actually four games. He was averaging an FPL point every 13.3 minutes. From 33 to 36, he's registered one every 17.4 minutes. His expected assists have dropped as well, but his expected goals has grown. So I think there's reason to be optimistic. And Jules, as you said, the fixture, he likes this fixture. And it just feels very bold to sell someone who has been so consistent for us this season.
Yeah, I think so. And he scored against Arsenal at St. James's Park in the league. He was very good in the two League Cup semi-finals as well, home and away. And yes, the Arsenal defence, I think, struggled. Saliba especially, because he seems to be the matchup there, struggled to defend on him and how good he is all around, really, in everything he does. So that's why if it was any other game, I would go Isak for Watkins. It would be very simple. In this game, and as much as you know, I love Saliba and I love Arsenal, I think it's a difficult one. And it's one I don't want. I'm even going to the game and I would rather want to see Isak at that game in my team than not, really. And I'm not, I'm not sure I'm ready for that. So -4 might not be a bad idea. So you could move Marmoush out and bring Watkins in and then do whatever the -4 is to get the enough money for it. But Isak to Watkins, it just feels a little bit off for me.
The other thing to consider with Isak, of course, is his ownership. Like, he's the second most heavily owned player in the game. So there's a risk reward that comes with this. If you sell him and he scores, it is going to hurt you.
Yeah.
So you have to decide how, in these last few weeks, what is your aim? If your aim is to massively gain rank and to try and win a mini league that you're behind in, then risky transfers like Isak to Watkins is probably worth doing. If you're at the top of your mini league and you want to hold your rank, then it's probably not worth doing
I'm laughing because you're telling me to sell Isak, basically. Because I...
Why if you're just 1 point behind someone that you really want to finish above? What do you...
Well, I'm not telling you what I'm doing.
Convince her to take a -4 and then you'll be 3 points
ahead.
She
will. She can come to my charity shop. I give you some points. Yeah. It's just very charitable to them.
It's something you've got to think about, right? Yeah. Depending upon where you are in your mini league.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have
Jules,
to consider it.
Can you take a -8 this week, please?
I will just for you.
Oh, thanks, so charitable.
But you know it'll go well, don't you? He'll take a -8 and it'll be the best -8 ever. Watkins will score a hat trick, the midfielder will go off, and somehow you'll find yourself 40 points behind, even though he's taken a -8.
Don't. Okay, then, outside of Isak, do we need to have a serious conversation about Mo Salah? This is rare because he's the fifth most transferred out and he has only returned in two matches since game week 30. A reminder, we're going into game week 37. This is unheard of for him. Those games were against Spurs and West Ham, whose defences have struggled this season. In the last seven matches, he has returned 26 points. In the seven before that, he registered 84. Jules, I can understand why people are thinking about doing it.
I know.
Is it as simple as they've won the title? And because I thought he would be going for all of these records, and I don't know.
Well, he's now literally on the beach, isn't he? They're out in Dubai, half the team at the moment. So he's literally on the beach this week.
Which might not be a bad thing, to be fair. He might just need a bit of a break. I don't know. And it's not just... Okay, he missed a few chances in those games that you mentioned, Kels, but he just hasn't been very good full stop. So it's not even if he was still great and he was just for some reason missing chances or hitting the post or against the goalkeeper that makes amazing saves. But it's not even that. He's just not good. And last season, remember, in a very different context, he didn't finish the season well either. And we had the same conversation last season, pretty much at the same time, on what to do with him. And this was not a season as good as this one prior to the last few games of the season either. So I just don't know. Maybe after the title, the new contract, just everything, he's a bit off it. Like the rest of the team, just half invested, half not so much, just enjoying it. They will obviously have one more home game, which will be against Crystal Palace on game week 38. And you would hope they would want to finish on a high, not like what we saw in the second half against Arsenal last weekend, for example, which was really unexpected, I thought. But from his point of view, considering how much he cost you, and it doesn't really matter if he scored like 2,000 points already in the game, right now he's not worth that money and being in your team because he cost you by not returning every week. So I just don't know what to do. But then I'd be too scared to sell him. I won't lie. Completely too scared.
That's the thing.
Again, but I wouldn't be surprised if he blanks again against Brighton and then even at home, the last game against Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I haven't considered selling him because of the fear, but I can understand why. I took a look at who people were bringing in for him. Ebere Eze, which feels risky. I mean, he's in the form of his life. He's having a wonderful season. But as we just said, they play in the FA Cup final on Saturday after the deadline and then they have a game. So yeah, we don't know if he'd get an injury. He could be rested. Cole Palmer as well is another popular transfer in for Mo Salah. And I don't get that one for different reasons because you're transferring out a player who maybe isn't in the best form for another player, Sam, who isn't in the best form.
Yeah, and for a player that I don't even know where he's going to play him without Nico Jackson there. And we've had problems with that earlier on in this season, and we kind of couldn't trust where Maresca was going to put Palmer and whether Palmer was going to have the best match as a result of it. I wish I knew where Palmer was going to start, because if I knew where Palmer was going to start, that would make that decision a lot easier. But for me, I kind of trust Mo Salah even in this like off patch more than I do Cole Palmer to return. Like, he was just not in the game last week at all, Cole Palmer. And I appreciate that they played the majority of the game with 10 men, but he just wasn't there. At least Salah was still having some chances. Okay, he wasn't, you know, performing as well as he has been earlier on in the season, but there were still opportunities there for him. And maybe Jules is right. Like, earlier on in the week when I saw them all, you know, off in Dubai having a lovely time, I was like, oh gosh, like, what do I do with them now? Like, do I sell him? Do I keep him? Where's his head? And then I thought, well, actually, maybe it's not such a terrible thing. Like, they go, they have a nice bit of time away, and then they come back for the final 2 weeks of the season. The Brighton defence has not been solid at all. So I would expect that Liverpool will get goals against Brighton, even if they don't keep a clean sheet themselves. And then on the final day of the season at home, they're about to lift the trophy. He's got one more goal involvement to get to start breaking record. Surely you want him for that one, even with Palace, you know, being as good as they've been over the recent weeks. I still think you want Salah for that one. So for me, because of that, I'm not prepared to sell him. But I do, again, a bit like we said about Isak, if you are chasing and if you really need to make some bold decisions, then maybe this is one that you could make, because you could have Palmer for this week and then you could have Saka for next week, and you're probably targeting two of the players with the best fixtures and with the most opportunity to get something. Because if you look at the projected points, Cole Palmer's going to be very high against that Manchester United defence, but is what we're seeing in the eye test backing up what we're seeing in the numbers?
Okay, let's take a look at some of the other popular assets for, so maybe the players that people are bringing in for the likes of Mo Salah. And we mentioned Watkins is proven popular for Isak, Eza, for the likes of Salah, Beto, Sharda, Bowen are names that are also up there. I mean, we've got one third of this podcast as the chairperson of the Bowen fan club yet doesn't own him. They've all got good form, all of those ones, but Bowen in particular, Sam, are you ever going to own him? Or are you just going to talk about him every week?
I have owned, just love I have talking owned his
name.
Him this season.
Say his name again. Say his name.
Okay, but it feels like you've spoken Jared about him Bowen. More and you haven't got him.
Oh, 100%. But isn't that always me? Like, yeah. I do that all year, don't I? It was the same with Liam Delap. Do you remember earlier on in the season?
Yes, I
was obsessed with him and never got him. I love Jared Bowen. Like, I think he's brilliant. I love the way that
we
he
know
plays.
That, but why don't you have him?
That is a really good question.
Are you going to have him? Just tell me
yeah,
that.
Yeah, come on.
I think it's really unlikely because I've got other things. Like, there's
well,
other
been
priorities
a waste of time
I want
this
to
podcast
make.
All year.
I know. I feel like I should, though. I feel like maybe that's what I should do this week. I mean,
why don't you bring in players that you big up on the podcast?
I don't know. Suggestion. It's a problem. It's a massive problem that I have. I probably need to work on that for next season.
No, but there is a serious conversation around those players. When you look at those transfers in, Sam, I know you analyse this kind of section of the fantasy website a lot. Are there any names on there that you're like, why are people bringing them in? Or you should definitely be bringing them in, understand that.
So I love the Beto pick. I'm a bit obsessed with that this week. That's my new obsession. Beto and Dwight McNeil, the pair of them, I think, like that last game at Goodison Park feeling that we're going to have in game week 37. Like, I've got a real thing about how that could be a really nice opportunity. It's also, it's not just that it's the last game at Goodison Park. It's a nice fixture against Southampton. I think there's a really nice opportunity there to target a team that they will not want the last result of them playing at Goodison Park to be a defeat. Like, they want that to be a win. So the Bettos, the Dwight McNeils, I really like that. A player that's not in this list that I really like for this week and I might yet do for the romance of it is bringing Jamie Vardy for his last game at the King Power Stadium.
Yeah.
He's won 199 goals for Leicester. So does he want to finish his Leicester career on 199? No, surely not. Surely Jamie Vardy gets something in that one. It's against Ipswich. Like, I don't know.
Sam, are you playing FPL with your heart over your head this week?
I feel like I've gone all romantic this week. Like, all the romantic narratives, like, all of the, like, oh, they've got something to play for. Like, but in some ways, is not that not the point of the last 2 weeks? Like, the last 2 weeks surely is about who's got something to fight for, who's got something that really inspires them to do something this week. Like, Spurs and Man United, we've just spoken about, they don't care this week, do they? They're all focused next week. Jamie Vardy, last home game at the King Power? Yes, please. Same with Veto and Dwight McNeil. Yeah, I'm all about that as well. Like, I think there's a lot of really nice storylines that could be written this weekend. And for me, that's probably going to be the way that I target it.
Julesie, I feel like you do this podcast. In the background, you've got a sign that says, I love you in French, which implies that you're incredibly romantic. You love. So are you real big softy?
Paris Bonnet.
So are you buying into any of these storylines?
Absolutely not. No, I'm kidding. No, we are all for the romanticism here. Jamie Vardy against Ipswich as well. If he was playing, you know, a tougher league, but like against Ipswich, I can see why. I would not go there, obviously not touch it because Leicester are not very good, as we've been saying for a long time. But you know he's going to score. You know he's going to score. So that can get you, I don't know, 6 points, 8 points, 9 points. It might be more than just scoring. But it's too risky. It's too risky for me. I don't fancy. Beto is a bit different in a way because there's a bit more form before he obviously scored last weekend. There's that also that very emotional part of the last game at Goodison. But then Everton play away at Newcastle for the last. So you don't really want Beto
bench
away
him.
At Newcastle. You can bench him, I guess. But then you only play with two forwards, which a lot of people like me
Five
don't
minutes.
Like. For example, so you could use your transfer for game week 38 to you bring Beto just for this game this weekend and then out again for 38. This is also possible. There's so many really good options because we talked a lot about Watkins, but if you can't do Watkins, then look at Beto, look at Vardy. It could be a bit of fun if you if you're not 1 point behind somebody you really want to finish above, and then you're a bit like, this is the end of the season, it's fun, then you can go for a Vardy or a Beto and enjoy it, enjoy the ride, because it would be fun to watch those two guys, if you have them in your team, playing that, those two very emotional fixtures for them.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to move on from this now before there's
more.
That was
good. That was very romantic.
That was very romantic.
I can finish with a kiss.
Not sure we needed that, to be honest, but let's move on to differential of the week. Last week's differentials, Jules, you had a brilliant week. You went with Sharda. We've mentioned him a couple of times on the
Thank
pod.
You very
he
much.
Looks to be a good pick for the whole remainder of the season, the whole two game weeks that there are. Sam, you went with Coda, got 5 points, got a late booking, didn't he, which didn't help you there.
Got cost him his two bonus
least,
points.
But Jules does at least this week get to go first, which means I hope you've got a backup. Sam Bonfield.
I've got two this week because I knew that you won.
I've got five, so I'm covered.
Anyway, you haven't. You've got one.
My differential of the week is Matty Cash, because for all the reason we mentioned about Aston Villa, probably having, in a way, in a weird way, but in a right way, the two best fixtures left in this Premier League season, with the two finalists of the Europa League and the two worst teams in the league outside of the bottom three, obviously. Sorry, Sam. I thought Cash could be a very interesting pick. 4.4 million, so it won't cost you too much really as a defender. Only owned by 1.3% of the game, so really, really super differential. Returned in the last two games, 6.7 points. And we said Villa in great form, 7 wins out of the last 8 in the league, playing two teams that are focused on, one, something else, and two, will have their heart broken by, I mean, I hope it's in that order. I hope for Sam, certainly. Broken by a final loss. So, Matty Cash, Aston Villa, not just for 37, but also for 38.
Not just like a puppy, not just for Christmas, for the Boxing exactly. Day as well. Shame you own the other Villa fullback, isn't it, really? I just realised you're a teeny right now. Sam, who are you going with?
I mean, I really hope you're right about him being really unhappy for the final game. I am sticking with the romance, Kels, and I'm going for Jamie Vardy. I love the narrative around the final game for him at the King Power Stadium. I love the fact that it's 199 goals and there's a real, it's literally vibes, isn't it? I'm picking him on vibes this week. He has returned in the last two game weeks, so there is a little bit of form going into this one. He did also return against Ipswich in the reverse of this fixture earlier on in the season. And generally speaking, actually, against the other teams that came up from the Championship, he's done very well this year. So we're all about the vibes, and Jamie Vardy is.
Jamie Vardy's having a party.
He's going to have a party.
Let's move on to transfers and captains and find out if Sam is actually going to bring in the player that she is talking about. Is there going to be a party in the Bonfield household at the weekend if Jamie Vardy scores? Because you'll have him on the team.
I'm very much hoping so. Yeah, I think so. I don't know what to do yet. I'll have to sell. Yeah, I know. I'd have to sell one of my semi-expensive players to upgrade Marmoush to Watkins. And I haven't ruled out doing that. That still could happen. But the logical part of my brain says, stop taking minus fours, just go for a player for this week. Just pick one, bring them in and accept that what happens, happens. So Jamie Vardy is right up there. Dwight McNeil is right up there on my wish list as well. He's been in such great form, and he was one of my backups in case Jules decided to be all romantic and go for Vardy. So Dwight McNeil, I also think, is a really nice option, and as a midfielder, potentially gives me a little bit more flexibility. I kind of wish I knew what was going to happen with Marmoush and whether he was going to start on Tuesday or not. But yeah, I do love the Vardy pick. That is where I'm tempted this week. That's the transfer
cool
I think I want
to
make.
Fair. I mean, yeah. I've got a pointless fact to tell you, because Alexandre Lacazette will play his last game for Lyon this weekend, and he's on 199 goals for Lyon too.
There you go.
I just wonder if this weekend, not that
so
we can pick Lacazette.
On the podcast.
So you get him in that game.
I said to you, it's a pointless fact. I said it's just funny that Lacazette and Vardy are on 199 before this last. Keep it, producer Jesse. Yeah. Remember when Lacazette was a darling of FPL? Not really.
I do remember. We used to own Lacazette a lot.
Yeah, we used to love Lacazette.
Yeah. Little party for Jamie Vardy on the weekend, and then a Spurs party on Wednesday night, please. That'd be lovely.
Jules, who are you going with?
I really want
wise?
To do Watkins. I love the Vardy pick, and really, if I can't do Watkins, I don't want to take a minus four because that would take me further away from you, Kels, obviously. but Watkins makes so
please
much sense,
one,
and Vardy is the...
we'll be ahead of you if you take a minus four and he doesn't.
I mean, I need him to do one.
Okay, just for you, I can do the minus four and bring Ollie Watkins.
You know he's definitely not doing it now.
I really want to. But Vardy is fun. I won't lie, Vardy will be really, really fun. So, but Watkins is the one to go for me.
Okay, and captaincy then. Who are we going with this game week? This is becoming harder each week. And given the nature of this game week as well, I find it really hard, Sam.
Do you know when we used to moan that captaincy was boring and we used to just like, oh, it's Haaland, oh, it's Salah, and that was the end of it. Now it's actually really difficult. I spend more time thinking about captaincy than most other stuff. I'm on Mbeumo at the moment again. I like the Fulham fixture. They've only kept one clean sheet since game week 23, and that was against Spurs, who, you know, were probably focused on something else at the time. I think it was after a Europa League game, actually. So I'm on him at the moment. Actually really like the idea of captaining Morgan Rogers against Spurs on Friday night, but you know I hate captaining somebody
first game.
Yeah.
So I'm not going anywhere near the Friday night game, because also how annoyed am I going to be all day Saturday if my captain blanks on Friday and I've got to get to Tuesday before the game? No, I'm going to be such a stressy person. I won't be nice to live with. So I think I'm going to go for Mbeumo. I think that's where I'll be.
Jules?
I've got something with home players who are home for the last game of the season. So I think there's something there, even if we're not really sure what team is going to play, who's going to play because of rotation. I think when it's their team's last home game of the season, I think it's a bit special, not even just Goodison or Vardy that we mentioned, but in general. So I would be very tempted to just captain, to have a team with as many players who play at home, which will be their last home game of the season, and captaining one. So from now, it's on Wissa, and I think he might stay on Wissa, a bit like Sam, the thought process for Sam with Mbeumo. I don't have Mbeumo, but I've got Wissa. Wissa could be the one.
Do I copy what Jules is doing, or do I try and go different to get in the mind games have started.
Oh, I'm currently on Mbeumo.
If I move for Watkins, Watkins will be my captain, because Watkins are home to a Spurs team that is going to obviously be thinking about Wednesday
Sam,
night.
Sam, if this is some advice to get the edge on him, don't say this on the podcast, just text me after.
Okay. I was only going to say that he doesn't even have him. Like, he doesn't have Mbeumo. Yeah. He won't get him. That's not a priority for Jules. So if you captain him and he does well, it's a big advantage. He's not going to get Mbeumo this week. So I would captain him, because it doubles the potential advantage there. Plus, got penalties that Wissa doesn't.
You have to captain Salah, Kels. Mm. Don't listen to Sam. Just captain Salah.
That's next week.
I'm definitely not taking your advice, that's for sure. Anyway, that's where we wrap this podcast up, because it's making me feel a bit weird.
One point is all I need.
Reminder then, your deadline is at 6 p.m. on Friday.
We haven't had a song like that. A song for ages.
Don't just sing over the deadline, though. That's an important bit of the pod.
Sorry.
Okay.
6 p.m. Friday, 90 minutes ahead of those two Friday night fixtures. That is your deadline. I hope you miss it, Jules. There's a fantasy show back on Friday as well. Praz will be in the studio with me. That'll be on the Premier League website. And App will have Off the Bench for you on Tuesday. And then we'll be back on Thursday after the final matches of Game Week 37. And we'll either not have Sam Bonfield here, probably, if Spurs have won it, or we'll have a crying Sam Bonfield and we'll be making her feel better if they have lost it. That will, of course, though, be our final preview of this season. So don't miss that as well. As always, we love it when you rate and review, and we'll see you next week. Good luck to me and not Jules. Can you wish yourself luck? I just did it.